The 17th of September, which you may already have noticed, but did you know that it's also the anniversary of George Washington's farewell speech to his fellow citizens, in which he said, "'Tis our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world." Well, I'm a fan of George, but had we adhered to that, there might be a delicatessen at the corner of 45th and 1st instead of the United Nations. Jim Lowe with you. In the half hour ahead, we'll be meeting ventriloquist Paul Winchell. I was on his TV show some years back in my Green Door days, back in the days of the old cylinder record. You remember that. And that was somewhere in between Thomas Edison's reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb and this one by the Beatles called Help.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
When I was young, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. And now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind, I've opened up a door.
Vanish in the haze.
not so self-assured.
And now I find
I've changed my mind. I've opened up the door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
A new children's TV show made its debut this month on NBC TV, and the critics had some nice things to say about it. The show is called Runaround. It's a fast-paced game show for kids with the accent on informative questions and answers. Its star is Paul Wenchel, who keeps things moving with the help of his ventriloquist's dummy, Jerry Mahoney. All this prompted our monitor reporter to corner Mr. Wenchel for an interview, but she didn't talk about his new show. Instead, she talked about an interest of his, which a lot of people, including me, didn't know about.
Paul Wenchel, I understand, of all things, you've invented an artificial heart.
Well, I invented the artificial... Yeah, well, first I should tell you about my background. I've had some medical training. I've always wanted to be a doctor, but I got into show business. And then at the age of 35, I felt that I had missed something, and I went back to college, and I took medical school. I didn't quite complete that, but it got me terribly interested in many phases, neurology and cardiology, and for some reason I zeroed in on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And to my way of thinking, the heart was just a muscle that was capable of pushing blood through the body, and I thought there was no reason why the heart couldn't be duplicated in an artificial way. So I invented this artificial heart, and I managed to secure a United States patent on it. That was about 10 years ago. Several months ago, I received communication from a Dr. Willem Kolff, who's the inventor of the artificial kidney.
Mm-hmm.
He is in charge of the Division of Artificial Organs at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. He said that he had looked over the patent and that they had devised and built an artificial heart that was based upon exactly the same elements as my patent. And would I join forces with them, and would I contribute my patent to the university, and would I like to come there and scrub in and participate in open heart surgery where they were going to implant the artificial heart in a calf, a small calf. Well, I went there in December, and I had some of the old medical thrills again by scrubbing in and dressing up in sterile uniforms and getting around the animal, and then participating in the surgery where we removed the animal's heart and implanted the artificial heart. Now, the artificial heart seems to work in a calf for approximately 2 weeks. Maybe it'll be 3 weeks, maybe it'll extend to 4 weeks when we get some of the bugs ironed out. Maybe someday a human being can use it.
Yes, and you follow a lot of heart research, don't you?
Oh, yes, I'm constantly reading up on it.
What is the one that you are most excited about?
Well, it's a thing called revitalization. I'd like to caution the listeners that when I talk about it, that they don't immediately run to their doctors if they have this problem, because it is not an established fact as yet. It is only going on in research laboratories. They are working with experimental animals. If they have an animal that has a diseased heart or an aged heart, they can remove the heart while they keep the animal on the artificial heart. And for about 2 weeks, they soak it in various nutrients, the real heart. They can operate upon it surgically. They can reverse the aging process. They can do away with the injuries that had occurred through normal heart attacks. A person who has had a coronary attack usually suffers things like, this may be technical words, but it's called a coronary infarction or a coronary occlusion. The arteries are clogged up, or part of the heart muscle is dead. Well, they can revitalize these areas. And then 2 weeks later, they reoperate, remove the artificial heart, and put the real one back. Now, this will beat the rejection, because the donor of the heart becomes the recipient of his own heart. So he gets his own heart back, and therefore his body will not reject it. Now, I must say again that this is not an established practice right now, but in reading so much about it, it excites me very, very much as something that will probably happen before the year 2000.
That sounds like Dr. Paul Winchell.
I make house calls.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul Winchell,
the host of the new program, Runaround. This is Tony Gilbert for Monitor.
Well, you never know, huh? But then you may not have known that I was a brain surgeon either. That was very interesting. That was very interesting indeed. Paul Winchell. It would be odd to see him in an operating room, though, wouldn't it? You wouldn't know which doctor was calling for the scalpel. Incidentally, Paul and Jerry's new show, Runaround, is aired on Saturday morning. Right now, on a Sunday night, it's 17 minutes after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. Jim Lowe for Monitor and music by Beverly Bremers. Best opera we've had so far today, I'll Make You Music.
Long time gone away from me, I knew that you'd return. I've gone through this many times, by now you'd think I'd learn that you'll be coming back again. Come home and turn the key.
Like
I'll make you music, Beverly Bremers. Now this message from the American Red Cross. Hurricane Agnes started small, and then, of course, she grew. She hit towns like Richmond, Harrisburg, Wheeling, Elmira. She killed hundreds, and hundreds of thousands were left suffering. The American Red Cross needs well over $10 million right now for flood relief all across the United States. Please help by sending your contributions to the American Red Cross, Flood Relief, Washington, D.C., 20006.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Dealing card games car, penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle, feel the wheels rumbling 'neath the floor. And the sons of foremen, porters, and the sons of engineers write their father's magic carpets made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep are rocking to the gentle beat, and the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Nighttime on the city of New Orleans, changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, we'll be there by morning. Mississippi darkness rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream, and the steel rail still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again, the passengers will please refrain. This train got to disappear in railroad blues.
Gone 500 miles when the day is done.
Marlo Guthrie, City of New Orleans. Trains have always been dear to the hearts of songwriters. Listen to the jingle, the rumble, and the roar. The Wabash Cannonball, Chattanooga Choo Choo, the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Now there was a song. And this one, Peace Train by the Ventures. And Peace Train. You are listening to Cross Country Monitor. You knew that, didn't you? And we'll have more for you in RFMO. I'm Jim Lau. From Rick Nelson, Garden Party. That'll be followed by We've Got to Get It On Again, played by Roger Williams.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around. Everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus. There was magic in the air. And over in the corner, to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. Songs, thought that's why they came. No one heard the music. We didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou. She belongs to me. And I sang a song about a honky tonk. It was time to leave. But it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. Someone opened up a closet door, and out stepped Johnny B. Goode. Playing guitar like a ring and a bell, and looking like you should. If you gotta play at garden parties, I wish you a lot of luck. But if memories were all I sang, I rather drive a truck, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da.
Jim Lowe here. If you followed the Olympic Games, the name of Doug Collins may be familiar to you. He was the basketball player who sank two free throws with 5 seconds left in the game to give the United States an apparent one-point win over the Soviet Union in the finals. Except they don't like to lose several times. We'll meet Doug Collins in just 3 minutes from now. And in the meantime, here's Monitor Music.
Beautiful style.
Three Dog Night. Next, sports editor Lynn Dillon, and our producer tonight, as a matter of fact, has a conversation with Doug Collins, the American basketball player who scored the last 2 points in that controversial Olympic final with the Soviet Union, and the coach, Will Robinson, for whom Collins will be playing again here in the United States this winter.
Doug Collins, you scored the last 2 points for the United States Olympic team in their final game against the Russians. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
Now, would you please tell us what happened after that?
Well, I shot the second of my 2 free throws, which gave us a 50-49 lead, and there was 3 seconds left on the clock. And Russia inbounded the ball, and they got to midcourt, and there was a second left, and the game was stopped. And we never realized why it was stopped. And so the official started the game again after he had stopped it. With 1 second to go, they threw the ball in, and then the horn went off, signifying the game was over. So we had our victory celebration, you might say. Then all of a sudden we found out that they said there was 3 more seconds they had put back up on the clock. So we went from our victory celebration to back out on defense and ended up losing the game.
Who called timeout, the Russians or?
Well, see, the Russians tried to call timeout while I was shooting my second free throw, but I already had the ball, so they couldn't get the timeout.
Right.
So they threw the ball in, and the game was stopped, and Coach Iba was violently protesting because an international ball, you can't stop play when the ball is live.
Right.
So he was violently telling them that they couldn't stop the game, but they wouldn't listen.
All right, who were the two officials?
I think a Bulgarian and a Brazilian. I don't know who they were, though.
A Bulgarian and a Brazilian?
Yes.
Well, once it had stopped at 1 second, up to that point, was everything...
Right.
Okay?
Up to that point, everything was all right.
Well, and why did they put it back to 3 seconds?
They never did give us the reason for it. But I know that they asked the timekeeper after the game who won, and he said the United States. But the man sitting behind him, the guy from Great Britain, whose name was Jones, told him to put 3 seconds on the clock.
And what did he have to do with it?
He has something to do with the Federal International Basketball Association, which has the rules over the games.
Right.
But as far as I know and what I've heard, he had no authority to tell him to put 3 seconds back on the clock. That was the referees and the scorers' table. That, you know, he had no way had control of that game.
There's been a lot of criticism about our team not accepting the silver medals.
Well, people, I don't know how they feel, but we've got many telegrams, and I think out of all the telegrams we got, only one was against us not accepting it. And Coach Iba backed our decision. He felt that we shouldn't accept the silver medal either.
Coach John Wooden of UCLA thought everybody griped too much about losing the game.
Well, just like I said a while ago, if he would have been coaching the team, he would have griped too.
Mm.
I know that if that would have been for the NCAA championship and he would have got beat on something like that, that he would not just sit down and took the second place thing. He would have said something about it.
Coach Will Robinson, I know you can't wait to get young Doug Collins back to school so he can start dunking baskets for you. I think he averaged 32 points last year, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
At Illinois State University. Were you at the Olympics, Coach?
Yes, I attended the Olympics.
Obviously, then you saw the last game.
Yep. The point that Doug didn't raise was the fact that the officials who handle the ball game, they don't do any talking.
Mm.
Everything is done by signs. And since the language barrier presents a problem, that makes it a little difficult to communicate.
Yeah.
When you're doing it strictly by sign.
Yeah.
What I don't think that the people in general are aware of, the difference in the style of basketball that's being played on an international level. Yeah. For instance, whenever a foul is committed, unless it's in the act of shooting, you only take the ball out.
Out of bounds, right.
And that's the only time you shoot. And also, the 10-second count is not in effect until the last 3 minutes of the ball game.
Mm.
And, any Mickey Mouse fouls are not fouls called as we know them. So, therefore, there isn't a lot of parading to the free throw line,
right,
where half the points scored in American games are done at the free throw line.
That's true.
But on an international basis, it's done strictly by baskets, by you trading baskets.
Right. Well, let me ask you, with a clinical view, how did you think the Russians play, and how do they look to you?
I thought that in the last ball game, the Russians played more effective up until the last part of the ball game than we did, from an offensive point of view.
Right.
Both teams defensively were good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we shot well.
Yeah.
And then, two, several other things went off kilter for us. One, Dwight Jones was evicted from the ball game. Two, and very important, Jim Brewer, our best rebounder, had an accident and had a concussion in the ball game. And that was mainly where our defensive strength under the board rests, and we were without that. And then, two, my unofficial opinion is we played one game too many.
I see what you mean. Doug Collins, thank you. Coach Will Robinson of Illinois State University, I thank you too, sir. I wish you both success in the coming basketball season, and thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
I guess one of the problems was the language thing. One of the referees was Bulgarian, the other was from Brazil. How do you say we was robbed in Portuguese, anyway, huh? With the Olympics, you can't say wait until next year. I guess we'll have to wait till 1976 in Montreal, isn't it? Thank you very much, Len Dillon. More ahead, old friend, so stay tuned. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Jim Lowe here. Music by Lenny Welch. An update on a longtime standard. A Sunday Kind of Love.
I'm through with my own love. I've loved her through and through. I'm searching for a new love. Can that new love be you? I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to laugh as Saturday night. I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight.
Yeah. Sunday kind of love. Oh, a Sunday kind of love.
Sunday kind of love, Lenny Welch. And if you're interested in a Sunday kind of love, you better hurry up because there isn't too much of the day left. Right now for some culture, a bit of Mozart. They say down at Hurley's Bar, that blows the foam up another one. Till next week then, old friend, this is Jim Lowe. Stay tuned for the news. God bless. See you straight ahead.